Welcome to Flowery Branch on a Monday, another edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. And coming up in the player spotlight, the bottom of the half hour, Grady Jarrett will join us, rookie defensive tackle from Clemson. Look forward to spending a few minutes with him. But as always, Dan Quinn, good enough to spend the first 30 minutes of the program with us. And I know you're frustrated and disappointed with the outcome yesterday. You guys won the turnover game, which I knew was important. The penalties were not the high number it was the first time you played Tampa. Just couldn't get the one stop you needed, I guess.
No, that was probably, and Wesley, that was good to be on with you, but that was probably the hardest sequence for us, was to see the finish. And that's what we watched as an entire team today, to make sure we're going to talk exactly the style that we're going to finish like. And when we don't do that, man, is it hard. And the lessons of finishing are always really clear, because they come at the end of the game. It could be in basketball or baseball or fighting or football. And here's this moment where the game's about to come down to it. And for us to be at our best, we got to make sure we recognize that opportunity and then go capitalize and win.
I know in the constant pursuit of excellence and trying to get where you want to get, whether it's finish or take care of certain aspects of the game, consistency is obviously something as a former player I'm looking for from my coach. But also, you know, kind of pushing the edge. Are you pushing the edge of the envelope to try to find new ways to reach guys? What do you do there?
I think each, like, for the coaches, like, get to know the players so well, you can help motivate them, push them, and take them as far as they can. For me, as the head coach, not just organizing, orchestrating the assistants to make sure we're finding all the ways, but what tweaks do we need to make into our practice plan, into things to, you know, emphasize certain parts of our plan. And last week, you know, we did make a big push about the football and forcing, you know, fumbles, and we got one and got a recovery with Paul Warlow and Ricardo Allen, and the tipped interception by Trufant. So the ball hawking, you know, you felt that some in the game. And then owning the ball offensively all the way up, you know, through the end, we felt much better in that way.
You had touched on some things last week that you had pulled from the Minnesota game. What was your rate of return on that? Obviously, the turnovers being one of them. What were some of the other things you ultimately decided that, hey, these are going to be important things for us, and what did you see?
Well, I think, you know, from – on the offensive side, the throwing and catching, you know, we were 30 out of 45 with, you know, I think we had four drops. So that part, the third down emphasis that we made offensively, right, you know, really came through. I think we ended up somewhere near 50% or right about.
Right at 50%, yeah. 8 of 16.
And then defensively, we got the turnovers, but the hardest one for us was the missed tackles were still a big part of our game. And that's something that we know we can get better at. It's absolutely a technique thing. And we spent a lot of time on it. And that part not to come through in 1 week's time, you know, that we're right back to it again.
As a defensive guy, I know embarrassing when you have an opportunity, a situation to try to put the quarterback on the ground. You've done all you could do to get him in third and 19, and then all of a sudden he breaks off a play that obviously everybody in the defensive room would say we should have made the tackle. Was there something else that could have been done other than just make the tackle?
No, it was honestly, you know, when you watch it, just really made you sick. And it was the hardest play for us defensively the entire year, and one that – there's some scars that happen from a play like that. And I'm sure you have some that you never forget. And that created some for us in that game. And I think it also led, you know, to where the next play was a run, and, you know, and they finished the drive with the touchdown. So that one was hard, you know, for the defense, for the coaches, for the entire team.
So there is going to be some challenge on recovery from that this week, right?
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, is that a concern going in?
Not a concern, okay. But I just want us to make sure our team always knows we want to be known as a unit that finishes.
Right.
And when you play the Atlanta Falcons, number one, you're going to get hit, and you better be ready to go the entire distance, because we are. And so when we didn't do that, that's where it hits the hardest. And that will happen with us, but it didn't happen in this last game. And that can be, you know, upsetting. And where do you put that when
right.
you feel like this is a game you can go get, and you don't have anywhere to put a loss like that?
I'm going to guess you had to expect growing pains at some point during the course of this year. Once you set the foundation for what you want this team to be.
I did not.
No growing pains.
No, of course so. Yeah.
But it, the way it's happening.
Yep.
Is that a challenge? I mean, that's a challenge within itself, right?
Yeah, I think every time, like, you're going to go through some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And in this profession, and it's one of the things that makes it such a great one, you get challenged all the time. And I think you have to go through that struggle to make the progress. And that's where we're at now. We've had the challenges. We've had the struggle. And our team is ready to, you know, play like we're capable of. I told the team today, I want them to, if they understood the belief I have in them, they'd feel pretty powerful. And so that's what I'm hoping we'll get accomplished.
Well, and I know you believe as much as of anybody as your guy that squeezes the trigger for you. You mentioned 30 completions yesterday, 270 yards. I thought he did an unbelievable job of kind of trying to deal with that umbrella look they were giving you. You couldn't get the run game going. They did a nice job with their seven. I guess that magnified how disappointed you were with the last throw, with how well he'd managed the game up to that point.
And like I said, I think some of the ones where we were able to check it down to Devontae, I think he was up near 10 catches somewhere in that spot. And in that scheme, that's a big part of it, when you're going against that scheme. Knowing just like when we play three deep, where some of the things go to attack. When you play two deep, where do you want to go to attack? So I thought he did a really good job in that way.
It's a it's quite a challenge coming up to Carolina on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Charlotte. Of course, our pregame starts at 11 a.m. You talked about Freeman. It was double-figure catches yesterday. Do you expect something like that going in based on what they were doing defensively?
I think you expect it to be a real factor. We know he's already a factor in the pass game, but when certain throws aren't there and you know he's the viable check down, I didn't know it would be 10, but I knew it would be 6, 7, 8, something in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it was certainly an effort to try to corral the run and make you throw it, and Devontae stepped up big. I think Julio and Devontae combined with 18 receptions, so those two guys certainly stepped up. Were you pleased with the way Coleman responded? Had a mistake a week ago, looked like he carried the ball. He was doing some of the things you were talking about. He was very obvious. He was trying to cover up and take care of
it. I thought he made a real step, and the embarrassment that goes with losing one, you get a chance to come back and prove to your teammates, now, man, you can count on me, and I think we certainly saw that.
Well, in the other note in yesterday's game that we had discussed was Devin Hester comes back to help you in the return game.
Yep.
And then we've touched on this a little bit in our previous visits, Coach, and that is the how do you go active, inactive on game day? Was it difficult yesterday to get to that list knowing that you had Hester back and some of those things in play, I guess?
Yeah, every week there's a challenge. And honestly, I wish the list was bigger, where we had 53 guys on it. Why wouldn't we just dress them all?
Right, yeah.
But as it goes through it, we knew if Hess was ready, he's been waiting, he's been training, and we knew this was the time. If it was a chance to help bring him back and get him going again, we wanted to do it, so we're glad to have him out there.
Where was the fine line, Dan, with that? Because you weren't sure that he was going to be able to get through a full week of practice for
you.
So now you had him just in the return game. So to spend practice time on building something in for him offensively probably wasn't feasible maybe this week. Maybe this week it is.
Yep, now we're able to take another step. And really the first week going in, I wanted to make sure he just felt very natural coming back and returning. It had been all the way since the New York Jet game that he had played and practiced. So we weren't going to just say, okay, now here's everything, go right back to it. So we'll start bringing him into the offense as well.
Well, the Falcons found themselves yesterday, Shane Graham, 4 field goals. And I know you want more out of those trips, and that goes without saying. But, boy, how consistent is he shown to be for you here in just a week's time?
I guess. And came in on really, tough circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, was just the opposite of, I need to do this. Or, for the guys who are snapping and holding, however you guys do it, I'll just – they're seriously, no, however you want us to do it. And he's really came in with the right approach and just fit in great with the team.
How have you felt? We get caught up in the fantasy football guys, the quarterbacks, the receivers, the backs, and don't really talk about the guys that really make the game go or stop as far as the trench guys. How have you felt like the two lines have played? I know there's probably a mixed bag, obviously.
There is,
after
you get, 12 games in, and sometimes it might even be within the unit. Mm-hmm. This, so-and-so may have played a really good game, graded out 87%. And the other guy, not as good a game. So we love when those units are kind of connected together. Man, the O-line really played well as a group, and the D-line really played well as a group. And there's been games like that, and there's been others where they didn't play as well. However, this player did. And for us, it felt like that was certainly like Grady Jarrett yesterday was one, I thought solid in the run game, used good leverage. Got extension, coming in and backing up to Solei, who went down with an injury. So I thought he was an example of how that, although our run game wasn't like we thought, he was one that did shine to me.
Dan, he's a guy that you've given more and more opportunities to play, and he looks like he's obviously answered it because that's why you keep putting him on the field. Is that what you're looking for from some of these young guys? Hey, let's push these old guys. I'm going to take your spot, but yet you're still a team. That's kind of an interesting
dynamic.
Yeah,
and I think every player, we want them to take it as far as they can. And in specifically of the young guys, they're kind of starting to come into their own a little bit as Hardy and Grady. And both those guys didn't play a lot early on. And so now here's an opportunity for them to earn a little more playing time. And the team totally counts on them. They've shown they can be, you know, accountable to everybody, and we're excited to see where those two go.
Is it always that case with the rookies where there's one or two who've got to go to battle right away, and then maybe another two or three that you can patiently kind of sequence along, maybe the first half of the season?
I think so, and sometimes it's those guys, the little bit of development they need. And, like, for instance, Hardy was one that early on with Keith on the special teams, you know, needs more work. Now he's a very good special, you know, made a tackle inside the 20 and is throwing his body around. So, I mean, he's totally going for it, which I love.
All right, time for this week's head coach question, brought to you by United BMW. Selection, incredible service. It's the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW line today at United BMW in Gwinnett, Roswell, or, of course, online at BMW.com. And you could submit your question every week to 929thegame.com/askthecoach, conveniently, Arch.
Yeah. Well, we have the coach here, so it's very important.
It's appropriate we're asking this. Nicole in Union City.
Hi, Nicole.
Yeah. Does playing an undefeated division rival Panthers team provide any extra motivation this week?
Well, I think for Nicole, the first thing to know, when we do play a division team for the first time in December, that is unusual.
Yeah.
But we're really excited for the matchup. And they're playing very well, and we'll be ready to play. So we're excited. I can tell you that much, Nicole. We're ready to go.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, the first meeting of the year. You just noted this, Coach. This is different. Don't play a division team until the last month of the regular season, so to speak. But you see the 12-0 Panthers in Charlotte.
Yep.
And despite this being your first year, a team you're kind of familiar with. You guys played them, a couple times last year in Seattle and once, I guess, the year before, right?
Yep, and I really love their style, you know, the toughness and attitude that they play with. They're a physical team as well, and one challenge we're looking forward to. I'm not surprised that they're playing so well, the turnover margin so high. I think they're up at plus 13 or 14 and number one in the league in carries, which is probably pretty normal for them with the amount of quarterback runs in addition to the running back runs. That's usually the case. It's a matchup that we're thrilled to be a part of.
Yeah, Dan, does this come at a good time? Obviously, the last 5 weeks have been frustrating. Close, right there on the edge, one-score games. Haven't been able to get over the hump. And here comes a division foe that's undefeated. Maybe the right recipe right now. Not that anybody's dobbers down or anything like that in the locker room, but still a great opportunity to really upset the apple cart here.
And, and getting a chance to play him up there. We know we're going to see him again in a few weeks.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, it's one, you know, when they set up some of the division games at the end, I think it's a great idea.
It's a team that is defensive, and you mentioned the turnover ratio. It's 29-15. It's almost 2-1.
Yep.
Defensive-driven team, or is there a little more to it in a philosophical building that Ron Rivera's put on there?
I think there's more to it than that. And they've got some featured players, you know, offensively as well. I think the run game is a real factor. The way they use Olsen's been a factor. Ted Ginn, you know, has been a factor. You know, Jericho Cotchery's still making plays. You know, like I was at the Jets when he was there, you know. So, I mean, like all he's doing is still making plays. But, I think they're, you know, a really complete team. And, like I said, it's a division game and one we can't wait to get up there and play.
They seem to want – they have a pace that they want to play, as most teams do, have their own pace they want to play. But there's this kind of a plodding type of offensive pace. They want to hit you with the run, kind of bludgeon you with the run, big quarterbacks involved in the run game as well. But work that clock right to the back end of the number and just kind of possess the football and then all of a sudden strike. I guess that would even maybe more so, if it can be, the premium on making sure you convert on offense and making sure you win on third down on defense.
Yeah, it's for sure. The third down matchups, as you know, are going to be critical. Mm-hmm. Coach Shula for there, they've got a good third down package because it's not just a passing game. You know, there's run action that goes along with it. The play that breaks down, and oh, by the way, I'm going to scramble for the first. So there's, you know, the real threat of that as well.
The challenges of defending a guy that brings the college element to the game, the zone read type of game. Haven't really seen much of that this year. Obviously, Philly had it in the beginning of the season, but Bradford's not really going anywhere.
Right.
Now you've got a guy that truly can run the football. How much adjustment does that make during the week to get ready?
Well,
during the
offseason, you want to have some special packages that you're able to use against, you know, mobile quarterbacks who can do that. And so that's what we're prepared to do. We've practiced it. We've got it ready, you know, for other games as well. And just so happens that this is, you know, the next one for us to utilize that when we need to.
When you get in in this latter part of the season, we saw Devontae come back yesterday after missing last week against Minnesota. I know the importance of having all the hands on deck, but a guy like that can really change the dynamic of a game like this.
Sure.
Simply because, as Dave mentioned, they're not going to be as many possessions potentially in this one as there are other ones, right?
That's correct. And, you know, both teams, you know how to, you know, hold on to the ball and make long drives. I think, you know, for the last three games, we've had almost 10-plus play drives coming out of the half. And ones are critical as well. So I was proud of the team, you know, at the end of the half of finishing like we did. We had a turnover that led to, you know, we had 34 seconds, three timeouts, moved down the field, kicked a field goal, started with the ball again, went down the field again. So those are the kind of times when we call that, you know, right at the, you know, we score at the end of the half and go back. We call that trying to lap somebody. Mm-hmm. And so having a chance to do that in the game was an important one.
Had you ever considered with this stretch of changing your philosophy of deferring if you win the toss? I mean, that seems to be a philosophy. The different coaches are different ways on that. You like to put your defense on the field first.
We'd like to defer, and we'd also like to see if we can create a possession at the end of the half. And then we get the ball again to start it.
Yeah.
So anytime we can go possession to halftime to another possession, that's when we feel like a possession to a score, to a kick, and then we got another chance. There's been some times in the past where that's where we've been at our best. We were able to do that with two field goals yesterday.
Right.
But we like doing that when we
have a chance. Yeah, that recipe worked perfectly for you yesterday. Yep. You just didn't finish in that drive at the start of the third quarter.
Correct.
When you looked at the way that all kind of – you learned something about your team going through that yesterday? I mean, a little bit with that quick change, and then you had plenty of timeouts. I mean, you could really work it the way you wanted to, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what we do on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So sometimes we'll just go, all right, Wednesdays we generally work 2 minutes at the end of the half, and Thursdays we work 2 minutes at the end of the game. So we put a guys in those exact scenarios. Okay, there's 34 seconds and one timeout. There's, you know, 25 seconds and no timeouts. Mm-hmm. There's 40 and three, however we want to split them up for the week. And by going through that process, we like it to feel normal, and offensively and defensively.
No, you want to coach ball, but there's always stuff around the game that comes out. And sometimes when we're right after a game, someone will make a comment or say something that maybe they would rather take back. Julio made some comments yesterday, not necessarily directed at anybody in particular. Disappointing, or is that something that you expect with 53 individuals in a locker room?
Yeah,
that are frustrated?
Not disappointing
everybody's,
at all.
Everybody's going the same direction.
And for those of us who know the competitor and like, talk about like protecting the team, he's, you know, at the front of the list in terms of, you know, all the things that he represents for all of us. So yeah, no frustration, and everybody is unique, and I think that's kind of the coolest part about being on a team. If we were all exactly the same, it wouldn't be as fun. And you know, certainly, you know, yeah, nothing, you know, that we'd expect differently from him.
Might be boring, in fact.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. If we're all the same way, so
no question about it.
It's one of the coolest parts about being on a team where there are so many different unique guys and with different backgrounds, the old guys with kids, the young guys who are still out of college, and everybody in between. So it's a blast.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get out of control, you kind of want to know they got a pulse in there,
yeah,
right?
That's
you
right.
want to know that something's going on.
When you we touched about Trufant's interception yesterday. You almost had another one that got negated by.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. I know you can't necessarily talk about officiating, but, I mean, come on now. I mean, that was kind of right on the borderline. I mean, did you feel like that maybe that could have been let go? Or
I think there are a number of plays
clear?
That come up in a game that are bang-bang.
Mm-hmm. And okay, I appreciate that.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay,
I like it.
Now I did see from my perspective on the sideline, I thought that Savarian Jenkins was getting away with a few shoves at the top of the route.
Right.
I guess that's another one of those plays that there are a number of plays in the game that are bang bang. I saw you having a little discussion, just a nice, calm discussion with a guy on the side.
Yeah, I like the way this works now. We all know when we hear the bang bang, we know exactly
bang,
where
bang,
it stands.
Right. There's a bang bang play.
Yeah. I think what in to round out that thought. You got a lot of young guys making a lot of big plays.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of big plays for a young football team here. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with what's transpired here in the last five or so ball game, but you got to be encouraged by how well this has all kind of come together in terms of the demographic on this roster.
I think anytime you have the ability for the young guys to step up and make plays, you're not projecting anymore what they could become. You're already seeing the development take place, and it's all the you know, the extra time that you've seen, you know, out at practice.
Absolutely.
And doing extra work. You know, why is Justin Hardy playing better? Like the first 4 weeks of the season, all the work that he did, he didn't, you know, hang his head and I'm not active. It was, now I'm going to go learn to beat man to man. And those were the things, and play better on special teams, and all the meetings he has up with Keith Armstrong, you know, about teams. Those
sure.
are the things that you see when guys are absolutely going for it. There's usually, when you think you're here, there's another, you can break through that ceiling and get to another place. And we're seeing that with some of the young guys.
Another guy I thought of yesterday was Nick Williams. Never caught a touchdown pass till a week ago. Now he's caught 2 and 2 ball games. I mean, here's a guy who was with some other people, and now it's kind of come into place here a little bit for him, I think.
He really played his way onto the team because of being the competitor that he is. He knows all the positions, you know, in terms of play X, he can play F, he can play Z, and he just wouldn't back down from anything. So he hadn't had a big special teams, you know, he did in some returning, but he hadn't, you know, covered a lot. Nope. He was out there a gunner yesterday, so he's another example of, like, when guys have a chance to go for it, and they do, I want to encourage that at every single opportunity. I want us to be a program that's built on decisions like that, where guys go for it and don't back off ever. And so that's why when we don't finish like we're capable of, that's what eats me as the coach inside, because that's what I want our whole program to be about, is finishing and going for it and never backing off. And however long this fight has to take, I'm willing to go the distance.
I think only fans can kind of guess how much time you spend at your job and trying to coach ball and get this team dialed in. And it might be they may be only guessing a fraction of what it really is. But it was pretty cool to hear that you took the time to reach out to Kirby Smart and congratulate him. You guys have a history together. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, number one, we coached together at the Miami Dolphins, and that was my first experience. I'd known who he was because I was also there with Will Muschamp. Mm-hmm. And so they were friends, so that's how I got to meet Kirby. So then Will had left the staff, and Kirby had come in the very next year, and you just saw right away a guy who had passion for coaching, passion for teaching. And so then we kept up through the years. He went to Alabama and, oh, by the way, just, you know, crushed it for the last, you know, I don't know, you know, 9 years or something. Yeah. So his opportunity is long overdue. And so when I heard that he was getting named, I was genuinely excited for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only the fact that his opportunity is here, and for him, by the way, I know how important Georgia is to him, and, you know, grew up in Georgia. His dad was a high school coach, you know, played there. Like, what a cool story. And so I'm excited for him and for Muschamp. You know, the Georgia South Carolina game
that'll
now
be fun
just
again.
Took on some new meaning.
There we got to try and get a Falcon Open date worked in there so Quinn can go switch sidelines during the game.
Yeah, I just know that it meant a lot to Coach Smart. Yeah. He referenced it a couple of times today while all the interviews are going on, that you would take the time to do that with everything you've got going.
Well,
on.
I recognize that it can be really challenging when you're going through a championship run. Of having another opportunity out there, and you want to have your best for, in his case, all the things and the people and the fans and everybody part of Alabama. But, oh, by the way, you know, you know, the next opportunity that you're just, you know, it's out there and it's going to be the one you've dreamt about, but you just want to make sure for all the people that put the work in and helped you get that opportunity that you want to be at the best for them. So I just kind of gave him some insight about how I went through, because it's a really challenging time for you.
Well, it's a big challenge on Sunday, too.
Yep.
We appreciate your time, as always. Good luck, and we'll see you on Sunday in Charlotte.
Yeah, we can't wait. See All if right. you can speed that up.
Thanks, Dan. Don't need to tell you this. Keep battling. I know you will.
Yep, that's
Thanks, bud.
Back with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Player Spotlight this week on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Falls on the rookie, fifth-round pick out of Clemson. Nearby guy, Rockdale County High School. Yes, Grady sir. Jarrett's with us. Good to have you here.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Grady, is this I mean, you haven't done a lot of losing games over the last few years of your college career. How tough has this been, this five-game stretch?
You know, it's been pretty tough, but, man, it's been tough for everybody just because we worked so hard during the week. And, you know, we just haven't been finishing the way we have. We've been in some really close games, been in competitive games, every game we played. So, you know, it just starts to get a little frustrating. But, you know, we just got to stay together and try to get back on the winning track and finish this season strong and let – the chips fall where they may, but you know, just trying to stay positive and continue to improve.
We're going to get to growing up in this area and going to Clemson and so forth, but your emergence this season, I mean, it's been one of those things that's kind of developed as the season has mm-hmm. gone along. Take us through this rookie campaign. What's that been like for you? What's maybe the biggest adjustment been?
You know, it's been an eventful process. I say that because, you know, coming in, you know, you're just coming from a program like Clemson where, you know, you're the guy that everybody looking to be that leader. You always on the field. And when you get up here and, you know, it's not happening like that, you just got to be patient. And then when your time comes, try to make the most of your opportunity. So that's just kind of where I've had to make my biggest adjustment, was to accept my role. And whenever I get my opportunity, to try to make plays like I have. So, you know, just trying to make the most out of my opportunity when it comes, and I guess the biggest adjustment to this pro game is, you know, the speed of everything and applying what you learn, what we learn in the room, in our meeting rooms, to the field, and definitely studying. So, I mean, it's been an adjustment, but I feel like I've made it pretty well. And I feel like that's why you're starting to see improvement in my play as the season goes on.
Well, and improvement, right, and more play time, too. We're seeing you on the field a little bit more, which I know you're pleased about, and that's what you came here to do, is you came here to be on the field and and to make plays. The last couple of weeks have been a little interesting. You guys went into last weekend against the Vikings, number one in the league against the run, giving up just under 80 yards a game.
Yep.
You've been touched up a couple times the last 2 weeks against the run game. Has there been something from a blocking scheme standpoint that maybe people that are doing a little bit differently to you, to the defense, not to you, but to the defense, that's created some opportunities to run the ball?
You know, the first time we played the Bucs, we did, you know, really solid job against them against the run, and you know, they made the necessary adjustments. And going against the Vikings, we'll play them real hard for the most part, but we just can't let that big run get out there to get them yards racked up. So just competing as a unit and, you know, just trying to be sound, gap sound across the whole board, across the whole defense. And that's why we were tops in the league in run defense, because, you know, everybody playing along the same accord, taking care of our gaps. So, in the NFL, you're going to go against a great back every week. So, you just got to bring your A game every week.
This is such an incredible team. It's the best team game. It's the most impactful team game from a team concept. I mean,
Absolutely.
There are a lot of other team games out there, but you only win these games. You have some superlatives from different players occasionally, but if you don't play well as a team, you're not going to win games. You're not going to be successful. Who is the guy in the defensive room when the coaches are away? Who's that guy that's kind of become a little bit of the leader of that defensive team room?
You know, I feel like a guy like Paul Warlow does an excellent job as far as the way he carries himself, the way he shows up to work and practice every day. A guy I look to, a guy like Paul Soliata, a guy that's really taking me in and trying to want to take the time to teach me the game and, you know, teach me what he's learned over the years and just trying to help me develop. So, you know, those are two dudes that come straight to the top of my mind when you ask me that question. So, I mean, we have good leadership. We have good players. And we just got to start racking up some wins.
Grady Jarrett with us in the Player Spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grady, it was interesting. Early in the year, we talked to Devontae, who's a second-year guy. Ricardo Allen was with us last week, another second-year guy. Mm-hmm. You get the feeling that in your rookie season, these Paul Soliai, you just mentioned Warlow a moment ago, guys who share that experience, share about, you know, as I always say, Dave and I talk about what it means to be a pro.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to play college football in retrospect, but now you got to do it for a living, and it changes a little bit.
Yeah, it does change. It does change because you got to realize that everybody you're going against, you know, they want the same thing you want. They want to be good. They want to have their job. They put in just as much effort into their craft as you are putting in yours. So you got to find that edge in your preparation. And that's like how I said, guys like Paul Warlow and like you said, Ricardo Allen. Just asking guys like that, that's kind of come from the same situation as me, Paul undrafted, Ricardo being a fifth rounder like myself, and having the success that they are, you know, just asking them what makes you different, you know, so that can apply. So I can help that apply to my lifestyle and how I approach the game. And, I mean, it's helped just having a conversation with those dudes. And, you know, I just got to find a nice routine and, you know, stick to it.
Did you get the sense coming out of Clemson? I mean, you were third team All-American as a senior, first team All-ACC, great college career. But if I recall correctly, at the end of your high school career, Clemson was one of those schools involved. But in terms of being, quote, unquote, highly recruited.
You
weren't highly recruited.
No,
surprise to you. And you were prepared, I guess, to wait a little bit in the draft process?
I have since I get drafted. But, you know, kind of going through the draft process, you know, I'm hearing a lot of second round, third round things. And so, I mean, I was like, I mean, sure, I'm going to be good day two or whatever. Then the third day came, you know, I'm like, oh, man. But, you know, I ended up getting drafted to my hometown team. I couldn't ask for a better situation. And, you know, I'm just really, you know, I'm living a dream and, you know, trying to make the most out of my opportunity.
You talked about some of the things that make you different. What's going to make you different? Your versatility is mm-hmm. one of those things that makes you different. You can play the one. You can play the three.
Yes,
I would imagine if we played a three-man line, you could slide all the way out and play a five if you needed
to.
But you've been able to play both the three and the one.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Solei helping you with that one technique. Mm-hmm. Babineau, outstanding job at that mm-hmm. three technique as well. Talk about what he's maybe helped you out with a little bit.
You know, just watching Babs work you know, guy's a Falcons legend. He's been here his whole career, double-digit years on his career. And, you know, he's kept him around. They kept him around for a reason. Consistency, effort, and, you know, just being in tune with the details of the game. So, just not even me going up to him, asking him, hey, Babs, how you do this? And it, just me just watching him. So, somebody mm-hmm. that you watch that leads by example day in and day out. And, you know, it's a reason why they kept him around here for so long. And he does an amazing job. And, I mean, he shows up to work every day.
Now, you're used to playing 14 games in a college schedule because you were 13, maybe 14 if mm-hmm. you had a championship game. Now you're getting into this back half of the schedule, got four games to go. So you've essentially played an entire NFL schedule. You played 16 games. Mm-hmm. You still have four games to go. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk, and I know rookies are a little bit more prepared for it, but that rookie wall and doing those kind of things to try to keep yourself fresh and ready to go when the month of December comes along, what have you tried to do in that regard?
You know, I feel like I don't feel a wall coming on, man. I feel like for myself, I feel like I'm starting to hit a stride. I'm playing
okay.
really good football right now. And I'm just really excited to get out on the field and, you know, show what I can do, you know. And so I mean, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged at this point just on a personal level, but and also trying to get better. So, you know, worrying about a rookie wall, when is this going to be over, that hasn't crossed my mind not once because, I mean, I'm here to do a job. I'm here to play football, and I'm here to be good at it. So I want to work at it so I can have my opportunity when it comes to, you know, not let it pass me by.
You know, it was interesting. Back in the preseason, the Falcons, I think, tweeted a picture out of you, Vic, and Malachi sitting mm-hmm. with each other on the plane going yep. to one of the preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to think, my gosh, there's an Ipte club meeting going on in the locker room every day. What's that been like, not only being drafted same year, obviously, with Vic,
mm-hmm.
but also having Malachi here, too?
You know, it's been cool, man, seeing some familiar faces, your brothers that you went to college with. And, you know, it makes the process that much easier to have somebody to go through it with. So, definitely with me and Vic getting drafted in the same class, that has helped us both. And having Malachi already here, kind of, you know, showing us the ropes, you could say, and it's been really cool.
Wasn't long after it happened that they put a billboard up.
Grady Jarrett with us here on our player spotlight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grady, let's make that transition. Let's go to Clemson.
Right.
You've got to be happy for your Tigers. I'm sure you wish you'd had that chance to be in the Final Four.
Absolutely.
But how excited are you for the number one Tigers?
I'm super excited for them guys. They've worked extremely hard. Mm. You know, Coach Sweeney has built a great program there. And, you know, I mean, just the town of Clemson, the school, the faculty, like just everything is grade A. And, I mean, they all deserve it, man. The guys have worked extremely hard. It's encouraging to watch how they grew, you know.
Right.
Just certain players, how they grew and how they stepped up. Because coming off my senior year, you know, we had the number one defense in the country. Whole bunch of guys on NFL teams right now, like myself, Stephon, Vic, Tavares Barnes, just a whole bunch of guys that's in the NFL now. You know, everybody talking about the defense is going to fall off. I think they're a top 10 rated defense right now. But, I mean, we knew the offense was going to get better. We knew the offense was going to be good. But, you know, and we knew the defense was going to be good. And that was the question everybody had going in. But, I mean, it's the program that they've built there, the recruits that they bring in. Guys, I mean, it's next man up.
It's interesting because I'm going to try and draw a correlation here.
Mm-hmm.
You were there when the program
– Absolutely.
At the bottom of that Orange Bowl game against
Absolutely.
West Virginia. And I've talked – and Dave and I have done the ACC long enough, and I've talked to Coach Sweeney and Coach Scott about this a little bit.
Absolutely.
Those next 3 years mm-hmm. were the program building.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what you are responsible for. No matter what success they
mm-hmm.
have, somebody had to build that thing
oh, yeah.
postscript of the West Virginia game, and mm-hmm. it was you guys.
Yeah, it was us, man. After that West Virginia game, you know, we had to take that whole offseason, take all the, you know, the jokes people had about us, and we just had to turn it around, you know. So that those following 3 years,
mm.
we had three program building wins, starting off with LSU.
Right.
Then over Ohio State, then over Oklahoma, my last game. So, I mean, we've played the top teams in the country, you know, just how they're viewed nationally.
Right.
And performed well. And, you know, that's gotten the attention of recruits. That got the attention of, you know, just people that's attracted to the Clemson program. And I just feel like, you know, that was our purpose.
Is some of that happening here, Grady? Some of that rebuilding, some of that kind of same ideal concepts?
You know, I can't even really speak on that because as a freshman at Clemson, I really didn't know what was going on. I just didn't go in there doing my job. So that's kind of what I'm – the stage I'm in now, you know, it's just kind of zoom focusing, focus on what I can control at this moment and just focus on being the best player I can be right now. So, you know, we'll talk in a few years and we'll talk about that.
Grady Jarrett with us here on the Player Spotlight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Grady, let's transition to what you're going to face this weekend. You're going to get a guy in a quarterback that's playing as good as he's probably played in his career. A lot
Absolutely.
Of people talking about him as an MVP candidate in Cam Newton.
Absolutely.
Had a monster performance last weekend to bring his team from behind to beat New Orleans. What are your initial thoughts? How much do you know about a gigantic guy at playing quarterback?
You know, I mean, he's the reason he was the number one pick overall, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he's the cream of the crop, you know. There's a reason why they're 12-0. They're executing at a high level. He's playing great. So we just going to have to be on our A game, you know. And, I mean, when you're facing somebody that can run and pass, you just got to be on your A game. But we're prepared for that. You know, we have everything we need on our side of it. Everything on our side of it just comes down to execution, executing the game plan that a coach has put together for us. So so we know that we're going against a good team, but I feel like we're up for the task.
Well, it's been a tough stretch. The only no sweeter way to come off a tough stretch than to beat this crowd, right?
You know, that would be real sweet, and that's the goal. I mean, that's the goal. We want to finish strong. We control what we control going forward, and, you know, nobody goes to work to lose. So we come in to win, and, you know, that's the expectation. That should be the expectation. And, you know, so we just got to handle the task at hand.
Oh, big fella, the future looks really good with you on the defensive front here. We're excited about what you're going to do from here forward.
Yes, sir.
And what you're going to be in the future for this team. We're excited you're on the ball club.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
How's that ticket demand work for home games? Pretty strong? You got a lot of ticket requests, a lot of folks? And...
You know,
I can only imagine.
I do have a lot of people come to the game. But
yeah?
They know prior, you know, I guess it's my crowd. You know, everybody probably see a whole bunch of 97 jerseys now like they used to see 50s in Clemson. So they know, like, before the season, like, when to get their tickets and everything. So the ticket demand for me, like, it don't be too bad. Like, I may get a couple friends some tickets on my end, but – my family, for the most part, they ready. They already have their tickets, and you know what I'm saying. They
only a 20-minute ride from Tigers.
Hey, man, it's easy, right?
So it's definitely been a blessing, man.
That's awesome.
It definitely has.
Well, it's great to have you here, and thanks for spending some time with us today.
Absolutely, thank you guys.
That's Grady Jarrett and the Player Spotlight on this week's edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. We appreciate you listening from Flowery Branch on a Monday.